Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word.
Hello? Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
And a friend of mine who's very smart said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
A massive show announcement coming up in about 20 minutes that you won't want to miss, and one of the sharpest college football bettors around. But first, friend of the show on the NFL and college, which kind of kicks off today. College football, yeah, week zero. Broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers.
What's the countdown? 12? All right. 12 days till the NFL season kicks off. Good morning. Thanks for joining me here on Early Odds. Let's bring in my buddy Ryan Horvat. BetMGM tonight on the BetQL Network. Horvy, love the change. I'm a little jealous. I didn't think of it before you. The profile pic on X there is just a bag of Portillo's.
Oh, man. I was home for 10 straight days.
Yeah.
I ate Portillo's 9 days in a row.
Home meaning here.
Yes. Home meaning, well, yeah, I was in the Chicagoland area. Yes. And in Joliet, Illinois. Shout out Joliet, Illinois, the 815. But yeah, I ate probably, I'm not joking, 24 Italian beefs. I probably had up to like 18 Chicago dogs. It was great. I mean, I ate a ton of pizza, but every time I come back home or back to Illinois, I gain legitimately like 10 to 12 pounds. But then I get back to the East Coast and just not the same. Just not the same. No Italian beef, no deep dish pizza. Not even just really a good pizza joint. It's rough living out here. I got to be honest. You guys haven't made, man.
But then you have to look in the mirror. And like you said, the poundage, you got to work out consistently just to keep it somewhat manageable. Yeah. You know, Portillo's, I have my staples that I stick with. So when I go there, it's hard to stray from that. But I know one item that is popular and I tried it for the first time the other day because nothing's bad. The spicy chicken sandwich. Pretty good. I wouldn't add it to the staple list. I just know it's super popular there.
It is. It's so good. But that's the problem. I mean, even if you want to go to Portillo's, you could actually even eat healthy, kind of. I mean, you could get a salad.
A chopped salad. It's not that healthy.
Well, it's not that healthy, but it's a healthier option than what I'm putting into my arteries. But yes. The issue is I get in the drive-through line and it's always packed.
It's going to be a while.
And you smell the French fries. You smell the Italian beef and you can't go salad.
That is a commitment to get there, take in all those smells and then stick with the salad. But let's talk some football. Okay. We're at the point right now. Tell me if you agree with me where it's like, man, the group think is real. Because now if I hear an opposite opinion of what most of sports betting media is talking about with these NFL teams, it's like, whoa, what's wrong with them? But then you think about it, well, the betting market is usually right. So it can't be that crazy because it's just months and months of the same people being high and low on the same teams. And what I mean by that is teams that consistently people are high on, the Bears. I know they're always steamed up, but now even outside of Chicago, people are high on the Bears. Of course, the Texans with Stroud and what he did last year. Everybody's high on the Bengals, high on the Eagles, Jets, Cardinals. Down on, I say the Bills, the Patriots, even though we know they're going to be awful, like even worse, maybe worst record. Kind of down on the Ravens, definitely down on the Cowboys. And then there's just a few teams where people are undecided. There's a little push and pull, like the Chargers. Maybe the Titans, maybe the Falcons a little bit where there's some disagreement. Do you agree with me, though, that it's like at least half the league, it feels like everybody has the same opinion on these teams?
Yeah, and you know somebody's going to be a disappointment. You know there's always going to be a surprise, a worst to first team in the National Football League. But, I mean, I went on vacation, like I said, for 10 days, and I was on social media watching the content on the BetQL network and pretty much everywhere else. And it's like, man, everybody really loves the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. And originally, I kind of thought I was on an island with them just because of how the season ended last season. I mean, they started 10-1. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But it was just a much different football team than the team we saw the year previous when they went to the Super Bowl because Shane Steichen was gone, the offensive coordinator. The offense looked much different. Nothing was up-tempo. Now they bring in Kellen Moore, though, to call plays. And I know not everybody's the biggest Kellen Moore fan. But I mean, man, if he doesn't fix that offense, he might not have a job. And we were talking about him as a head coach just a couple of years ago. On the defensive side of the ball, you lose Jonathan Gannon, who's now the head coach in Arizona. And that was a mess. The defense, 28th EPA, they couldn't stop the run. They really couldn't generate a pass rush. The secondary, that was the main issue, was the secondary. And they bring in Matt Patricia the second half of the season to call plays. So Vic Fangio is an obvious upgrade, man. But yeah, I do feel like everybody's kind of on the same teams going into the season. I do have a couple that I think I'm still on an island with, but seems like everybody thinks they have the league figured out, but you know that's not going to be the case.
Before we get to your favorite division bets, which couple do you feel like you're on an island with?
All right, so I don't like them to win the NFC North. I think the Bears are going to be really good in a couple of years. The Bears could even be good this year. Like if the defense is top 10, if Caleb is who I think he is, they could win 11, 12 games and win the NFC North, but I'm just not going to bet my money there because I'm the highest on Detroit, even as a Green Bay fan. I almost feel like people are overrating the Packers just a little bit. Jordan Love was really good the last 10 games of the season, but the first six games were a nightmare. I'm not worried about the offense. It's just they bring in another new defensive coordinator and Jeff Hafley, who is a head coach at Boston College. So I just that's the thing that worries me a little bit about Green Bay is that defense. And I just feel like even though they're the favorites to win the North, people are sleeping on the Lions. With Ben Johnson coming back to call plays, with that offensive line, with all those playmakers, they fix up the secondary. I do think that they win the division, took their win total over 10.5. That was my favorite bet. But the team that I think everybody's still sleeping on, man, as far as the win total, I think the Vikings win 8 games, and their win total opens 6.5. I know what the schedule looks like. I know J.J. McCarthy's injured already, and he's going to miss the season. Obviously, Kirk Cousins is now in Atlanta. But I kind of like Sam Darnold. And I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the more underrated head coaches in the league. I think he's a top 5 head coach in the league. And who knows? If they win 10 games, he might be coach of the year. But I kind of like the Vikings over 6.5 wins. I know that they lose some pieces on the defensive side of the ball. But I kind of like the moves that they made, bringing in like Van Ginkle. I think Minnesota is probably an 8-win team. They still have Justin Jefferson. The offense is still pretty solid when TJ Hockenson comes back. And I think Sam Darnold's going to be better than people project. And then the other team, kind of low on the 49ers in the West. They have to bring in Nick Sorensen, new defensive coordinator. I don't love what they look like against the run last season, 26 in EPA. You know, they've been pretty healthy these last couple of years. Hard to make a deep run every season. The team I think everybody's sleeping on, the Seahawks. I know Geno had a down year compared to where he was 2 years ago, but I mean, you still have DK Metcalf. You still have Tyler Lockett. I know he's another year older. I think JSN, this might be his breakout year. You have two really good backs in Kenneth Walker and in Zach Charbonnet. And I just think they knocked it out of the park with that head coaching hire, man. Yep. Mike McDonald's a defensive genius. The Ravens last season were historically good on the defensive side of the ball. And I think people kind of sleep on their secondary. I was looking at Warren Sharp's ratings. He had him 15. I love Devin Witherspoon. Have loved him since Illinois. I think he was a two-star coming out of high school. I think he only gets better in the slot and on the outside. I like Reek Wolin. They just traded Michael Jackson on Thursday, but they still have Trey Brown. I think the Seahawks also probably an 8-9 win team. So I went over on their win total. So those are the teams I feel like I'm on an island with. Minnesota and Seattle. Not to win their divisions, but to at least win 9-10 games and sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you on Seattle. I think McDonald could be your coach of the year. Like, yes. We've seen this many, many times with the rookie coach, and you exceed expectations. And then it doesn't mean they have to win the division. You don't have to do that to be the coach of the year. That's 7-1, and you're chasing San Francisco, maybe LA, but they are going to take multiple steps backwards defensively with no Aaron Donald on that team. But yeah, I like Seattle, and they were just sitting there, and then Byron Murphy ends up falling to him, could be the best defensive player out of this draft. What I find fascinating is, what is Ryan Grubb, their offensive coordinator, just coming over from the Washington Huskies? How is he going to handle things with Geno Smith and the rest of that offense? But arrow pointing up for Seattle, totally agree there. And then as far as divisions, you mentioned Philadelphia being high on them. Yeah, I entered the offseason not thinking that I would be. But the changes with the coaching staff, specifically you mentioned Vic Fangio on the defensive side. Now, Vic's system takes some time, but it's going to be an incredible upgrade. And what they did with the secondary, attack, 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 whether it's free agency additions, whether it's the first two picks in the draft, or a guy returning from a gambling suspension, it's going to be an entirely new secondary. And man, did they give Jalen Hurts some weapons. I know people don't love him, but if their record is what I think it's going to be, in a battle for one of the top seeds in the NFC, he's going to be in the MVP conversation. He's going to get a lot of the credit, even though it's going to have a whole lot to do with those top receivers and the addition of Saquon Barkley. You know, if I'm saying my favorite division bet, the one that I'm most confident in, I'd have to go with Philadelphia, just laying a small price, just a little bit more than even money here. How about you for a division bet?
I'm with you on the Eagles, man. And it's more, you have to downgrade the Cowboys. Like, you know, as we talk here, we don't know what's up with CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons wants a new deal. You lose Dan Quinn. I know you bring in Mike Zimmer, but also you have a lame duck head coach right now in Mike McCarthy, and they've overexceeded expectations 3 years in a row. Did bet them to win the division last year, but I'm with you on the Eagles because of everything that you said. I mean, I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a bounce back year. I'm not a big Nick Sirianni guy, but let's be honest. He's just like the mouthpiece at this point because you have Kellen Moore. It does take Vic Fangio's system some time, but I do think it's going to work much better than it did last year in Miami. Also, Miami just had a ton of injuries on that side of the ball. Cooper DeJean, jealous of that draft pick. I know some people project him as just a safety. He's a weapon, and he might be one of the best special teams players in the National Football League year one if he could stay healthy. CJ Gardner-Johnson, Quinyon Mitchell. I know a lot of people don't watch Maction. He's been the top-rated defensive back in college football the last 2 years. He's an absolute stud. So I'm with you on the Eagles. The other one would be in the AFC. I'm all aboard the Jacksonville Jags Express, to be honest with you, man. I feel like that's the team that everybody's sleeping on in the AFC South, right? Everybody loves the Texans, and on paper, they should win the division, right? But they're playing a first-place schedule now, top five tough schedule. And I think C.J. Stroud's going to have a great season because the pass defense is bottom 10. But I don't know, man. I still don't trust that secondary. The offensive line, I know they fixed it up, but I mean, that was the concern going into last year. They overexceeded their win expectation by 3.5 games, which tied with the Rams as the most in the league. Just tough to do 2 years in a row. And then I know a lot of people like the Colts. Everybody likes Shane Steichen. I like Anthony Richardson as well.
Yeah,
but
I do too.
I just feel like people are sleeping on the Jags, man. I know last year they finished 9-8. Trevor Lawrence gets the deal. Everybody rips the deal. It's kind of what you have to do if you have a quarterback now. It's just the defense that does concern me. But I love the Brian Robinson draft pick because that was one thing that they were good at last season, pushing the ball downfield. And there's not a better downfield threat.
Brian Thomas?
Brian Thomas, yeah. I just think he's going to be an absolute stud, man, if you watch what he did last year at LSU. So I actually kind of like the Jags in the AFC South. I think that's another team that everybody's sleeping on.
Yeah, I was going back and forth so much between the Colts and the Jags. I settled on the Colts. I also think the Titans are going to be better than people expect. Be careful, Bears. Laying 4.5 in a rookie's debut. Like, I don't know. That might be a little rich for me as far as that goes. All right, I want to get to college in a minute. Let's do this quick because I want to get your Super Bowl pick on record. I hate it. We were in agreement on the teams that we like on BetQL Daily the other day. So it bothers me. Philadelphia is the one that we were all on, and also the Cincinnati Bengals. What do you like for Super Bowl?
So I like the Eagles over the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to go
rematch.
In fact, dude, my favorite bet, I mean, week one, love Tennessee, but I love the Chiefs week one against Baltimore. Mahomes is not losing opening night at Arrowhead back-to-back seasons. And Baltimore loses three offensive linemen. Steve Spagnuolo has how long to game plan for that? I love the Chiefs week one, and I do think that they make it back. I think the Chiefs are going to be even better this season, man. I really do. That defense is going to be top five until Steve Spagnuolo retires, and Mahomes is just the greatest of all time, in my opinion. But, yeah, I'm high on the Eagles. You could even find, I think it's 250-1. It might be. It might have went down, but you could find, like, matching bets. I took Eagles to win the Super Bowl and Jalen Hurts to win the MVP. So I got Eagles over the Chiefs, and I got Jalen Hurts winning MVP, which I think he could still get, like, 15-1, 16-1 right now.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The score, a couple more minutes. Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight on the BetQL Network. All right, I'm looking for your favorite college football conference play. Let's switch to the college side. Favorite college football conference play. With the value that you get, I'm going to the ACC. I figure it's wide open, and I'm going to bet against Florida State with, let's be honest, a lot of luck that they had last season. Now they lose their quarterback, and I'm thinking it's open. How about a new player there? Yes, I know it's a step up in class, but, man, can they score points? And they've got eight guys back on offense, an offense that scored 39 points per game. They avoid Clemson. They avoid Miami. They get Florida State at home. The road schedule kind of soft. I think SMU at 12-1 has a chance to win the ACC. What's your favorite conference future?
So I like SMU too, and I did play that, and I used a little boost. But my serious play in the ACC, I hate to be chalky because this is another team that's getting too popular, man. And I don't trust Mario Cristobal, but I kind of like Miami. ACC. Yeah. Okay. I kind of like Cam Ward at the 20-1 price to win the Heisman. They're just loaded. They bring in Damian Martinez in the transfer portal, rushed for over 11,000 yards and 9 touchdowns last season, 3 starters back on the offensive line. And their toughest games on the road against Louisville, October 26th against Florida State, they get them at home. So I kind of like Miami, but I do think that they're getting a little too chalky. If it's not broke, I'm not going to fix it. And I know they're no longer in the Pac-12, but I'm going back to Utah. Right now, best price.
Let's go.
You could find a 3-1. Plus 300 if you shop around on Utah to win the Big 12. So Cam Rising's back. He's like 32 years old, but he's healthy.
I know.
He's back. I love what they did in the transfer portal. Still a top 10, in my opinion, tough place to play in the country is Utah. And I love that entire coaching staff, man. So I really like Utah in the Big 12. And then in the Big 10, I'm on the Oregon Express, man. I'm staying away from Ohio State. Ohio State, what they did in the portal was awesome. I love the hire of Chip Kelly because now all the pressure is not on Ryan Day since he doesn't have to call plays. But I just think at the end of the day, like, Oregon has the better quarterback. Both teams are loaded. I like Dylan Gabriel a lot more than I do Will Howard. So I did take Oregon. I know it's kind of chalky to win the Big Ten.
No, I mean, those are a couple of my favorites. I took Oregon to win the Big Ten as well. We're both at SMU. You mentioned Miami. Love Utah. And that brings us to the Heisman. If Utah's going to win the Big 12, right? Changing conferences and schedule actually gets easier. If they're going to do that, Cam Rising is going to be in the mix for Heisman, and the number's 40-1. So I love Rising 40-1. I get Dylan Gabriel being the favorite. I'm not going to bet it because it's such a short number at plus 750, but they win the Big Ten. Gabriel's going to be in the mix for the Heisman. Your guy, Jackson Dart, 14-1. Love that. And I'm considering Avery Johnson at 25-1 out of Kansas State. If they topple Utah for the Big 12, Avery Johnson's going to have a good chance.
I really like Avery Johnson. And that's going back to Will Howard, man. Will Howard might not have been the starter at Kansas State if he stayed, and now he's going to lead Ohio State to the national championship. I don't know.
That's what I hear.
So I love the, obviously I love the Cam Rising look, especially at the price of 40 to one. As we talk here on Saturday morning, I'm trying to talk myself out of Connor Wigman because I don't know that he can stay healthy, but I think A&M is going to be a surprise good team, maybe a 10 win team. I think they beat Notre Dame, unfortunately, week one, which is why they've been steamed now to 3-point favorites. And if he can stay healthy, he's a 5-star quarterback. You have Mike Elko coming in, who's an obvious upgrade over Jimbo Fisher, who they gave $500 million to just to go away. But my play, I'm sticking with what I gave you earlier on. It's still the same price. Nico Ealimaliava, 16-1 from Tennessee. He takes over the Josh Heupel offense, better fit than Joe Milton. He's a 5-star quarterback. They gave him a boatload of money to come over. And I just really like the wide receiver room. You got Chris Braslow coming over from Tulane. You have Squirrel White. And Nico played in the Citrus Bowl against Iowa, who was a top five defense. They hung 35 on Iowa. He threw for 151 yards, threw a touchdown, and ran for another three. And, yeah, big fan of that wide receiver room. And they bring back three offensive linemen. Cooper Mays and John Campbell are both going to be NFL starters. They get Lance Hurd to transfer from LSU. I think they're going to average close to 50 points per game, 46 points per game this year. And, I mean, look at what Hendon Hooker did with that offense. Nico's a much better quarterback, a better prospect. So yeah. I think Tennessee's a sleeper team, too, in the SEC, man. I think they could be a college football playoff contender, win 10 games, and I think he wins the Heisman. Worst price right now, 15-1.
10 seconds. Do you have a week zero play?
Week zero, I'm planning on either betting Florida State live, or if it gets back to 10 flat, I'm going to lay it with Florida State. Way too much money coming in on Georgia Tech. Florida State's going to kill them in the trenches.
Ryan Horvath. Weeknights, BetMGM tonight, 6 to 10 right here in Chicago on the BetQL Network. Thanks, Horvy. Best of luck this football season.
Thanks, Joe.
Just a taste, but some football that counts on our televisions today. All right. I mentioned it at the top. There's a huge announcement, and we'll do that next. Plus, one of the top college football handicappers, Brad Powers, drops by. All that next here on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski. Follow me on X at Joe Ostrowski, at Joe Ostrowski. Saturdays, 8 to 9 a.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's it feel like to finally win this thing?
Winner chicken dinner.
That was worth the wait. All right, so
early odds with Joe Ostrowski here on 670 The Score. Welcome back. All right, get right to it. So my jump into the sports betting media landscape started 8 years ago. Friend of mine, Sam Panionovich, was at WGN at the time. Both of us really into betting. But in the sports gaming arena, it was all fantasy football podcasts. We were always talking sports betting anyways, and I just said, there are barely any betting shows. We should do a betting show. Why the hell not? We can't find it. We know a lot of people that would consume it. It's going to blow up, and we were right, so why not? And that's when the Chicken Dinner podcast was born. Again, 8 years ago. As the space has exploded over the years, we took different paths only to meet again. Starting Monday, my new partner on BetQL Daily will be Sam Panionovich, a Chicago guy. So I guarantee you that we're going to talk a whole lot about our teams more than I already do on that show. The whole lineup, just top notch on the BetQL network. You just heard from Ryan Horvat. His new co-host in evenings is going to be Brad Evans, a friend of the station. And in the afternoon, Nick Costos will be joined by Femia Bebefe from VSiN and Michael Lombardi's show. I promise you, it is going to be one hell of a football season coming up. But as far as today, we've got college football. Here's Brad Powers, big-time sports bettor. And I asked Brad to give us his list of teams that he expects to struggle with conference realignment. Take a listen.
Number one team that comes to mind, UCLA, I think is going to be in for a big-time struggle going to the Big Ten. Obviously, with the first-year coach hired late in the process, the extra travel, the fact that they play, you know, speaking of travel, they're at Hawaii week one. They're also at LSU, plus playing a bunch of the power teams in that conference. I just think they're not ready yet as far as that roster. Chip Kelly, I mean, didn't recruit very well. So that's a team that comes to mind. I think Texas at the top is a team that I think might struggle a little bit. I just think the Floridas and the Kentuckys of the world are a little bit better than Baylor and Texas Tech. So even last year, Texas, they made the playoffs, had very close wins over TCU and Kansas State, easily could have lost those games. And with their turnover at the defensive tackle position, are they ready for some increased physicality of SEC play? I'm not sure. So Texas is a team that I also think struggles in year one.
It's wild, Brad. Like, I just keep staring at Alabama in a 12-team format. They're even money to make the play. Really? This is a coin flip for the Crimson Tide to make the playoffs? What are some of your favorite plus money make the playoffs bets out there?
So what I did was we all know there's one group of five team making it. So I treated that like it's separate entity, it's separate market. So I just, what are the four or five teams that are most likely from the G5 to make the playoff? And I you know, obviously bet some more than others, but if any one of these teams, you know, obviously got to do some math here, get out the pen and paper if you're old school and work it out. But I bet Liberty, Boise State, Memphis, Texas State, UTSA, and App State. If any one of those teams, those six teams, makes the playoff, I make money. I guess my farthest, people love long shots. The farthest one I bet was Texas State, 16-1. Texas State, a team that, you know, hadn't had a winning season in a decade, had one last year, and now you're betting them to make a 12-team playoff. I think G.J. Kinney is their head coach, and I think he might be the youngest, brightest mind on the offense side of the ball in all of college football. So I think the world of him, and I think that I like the talent level there. So if you want to take a flyer and a long shot, Texas State, 16-1.
So there are eight teams at BetMGM right now, Brad, who are favorites to make the college football playoff. And then we get into the teams that are plus money. LSU at plus 125, Michigan 140, Florida State 150, Missouri and Tennessee 180, Clemson 190, down to Miami, Utah at 2-1. Of those teams in that tier that are plus money but not huge return, who do you like the best, whether it's because of price or for any other reason?
Oh, wow. Maybe LSU, just because Brian Kelly's such a consistent winner. I mean, he's had, what, seven straight seasons now, winning at least 10 games. And if LSU wins 10 games, they're going to be in the playoffs. So, and it's not like they have any game. It's not like I'm wild about this LSU team this year. But I just, you know, there's no game on their schedule. They get Alabama at home. They're obviously favored against USC in the opener. They get Ole Miss at home. There's just not a game on the schedule where you're pounding your fist and saying, hey, they're a clear underdog in. So LSU would probably be the team. Although I haven't bet any one of those teams. And I just, basic math is not everybody can be a favorite. There's only 12 teams. The theoretical hold on some of these, at least at the end of the summer here, is something that I wouldn't recommend a lot of people betting into at this point. The profits, there's way too much profit for the sports book that it's not necessarily player friendly. Now, it will, in my opinion, it will become player friendly if a book like BetMGM leaves it up throughout the course of the year and I can play on an LSU or Georgia or Ohio State. Maybe they lose a game. Then I jump back in and start betting a lot of these again.
Yeah, that will be a really fun market to take a look at. All right. What about Heisman Trophy? Kind of plays into the teams that we're talking about possibly in the playoff or in the mix for their conferences. What are some looks that you like for Heisman?
Yeah, I'll give you quickly. I'll give you my five favorite bets. I bet quite a few, but my five favorite ones, I'm going to start at the top. Carson Beck, best quarterback on the best team. And that's what this award is. It's basically, you know, you got to be on a national title contending team. And more likely than not, you got to be a quarterback. So Carson Beck was the biggest bet I made. My favorite bet, though, was Dylan Gabriel, quarterback Oregon. I just think if he stays healthy, he's going to set the all-time records as far as passing yards, passing touchdowns, number of starts. I mean, he's going to have the career marks in all those categories. Plus, Oregon, in my opinion, is going to be right there in the mix as far as a national title contender. So Gabriel for me. And then a couple of longer shots that I bet earlier this summer. Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, I like quite a bit, offensive-friendly system. I think Ronnie Leonard in Notre Dame, just be provided that he's in another quarterback-friendly system. As far as Mike Denbrock coming from LSU, you know, was the offense coordinator for the Heisman Trophy winner last year. Not saying that Riley Leonard is Daniels, but he can run. He is mobile. So Riley Leonard for me, and then Nico Iamaleava for Tennessee. Not that I'm wild about Tennessee this year. I just, if they exceed expectations, it's going to be because of Nico. And we saw, you know, prior to his injury a couple years ago, Hendon Hooker, quarterback for Tennessee in that system, was the Heisman favorite in the middle of November. And I think Nico is more talented. So those are my five favorite bets that I made in the Heisman.
What about win totals? Anything currently available? I know you've been betting into these many months ago and numbers have moved, but anything you still like at win totals?
The one that's pretty widely available that I bet and you know gave out last week, boy, people aren't going to like this, but Colorado, under 5.5 wins. I just think it's a combustible situation. They need to stay to go over that total. Everybody's got to stay healthy. They lack some talent and depth. It's not that I don't like Colorado. I upgraded them even a touchdown over last year's team. It's just the schedule. There's not any surefire losses on the schedule, but there's also not any surefire wins. And I just think if Shador gets banged up, hey, the NFL is next year, not another year of college football. Same thing with Travis Hunter. I don't like reading some of the off-field stuff. And I just think they got a fight on their hands every single week. And Deion's done a lot of great things for Colorado. I mean, the power rating's up almost 3 touchdowns from what he inherited. I mean, that should say National Coach of the Year. The problem is he's making so much noise in the media that every single team that they play is motivated to a max of 10 to play Colorado. And Colorado's not Alabama. They don't have the talent to be up every week to play somebody with the sky high to, you know, to crush them. So under 5.5 wins, I don't even think they make a bowl game.
Brad Powers of BradPowersSports.com, a busy man with covers. He's got the Bet the Board pod and the Hit the Books pod. So it's not all football, though. The final stretch of the baseball season is here. So let's look at some World Series odds. You've got early odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back. You've got early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Last weekend of NFL action before it all starts for real. We welcome in Jim Miller. Jim, there's some NFL season-long props I know you want to get to, but we're going to start things off with baseball because futures-wise, I think it's an interesting time with the hardball.
It is an interesting time, and a lot of things are kind of sorting themselves out for division, sorting themselves out now a little bit more for awards when you're looking Cy Young, when you're looking MVP, things along those lines. But now it gets into, okay, who are the contenders and who are the pretenders when you're talking about who can actually win a World Series. And yes, we've had the expansion to the playoffs and that, the expansion of the wild card. But I still think, Joe, there's some teams that are just going to get in that are not going to have any chance at all to win the World Series. But I still think you can find some value with some teams out there. And I'll be curious to see kind of your thoughts, too, on who really has an opportunity to win the World Series.
But the reason I bring up the futures is this. It looks like we have our playoff teams. The 12 that are in are going to be in. Maybe there's that one change with the Mets that I do find to be interesting, but that's why it's good to have this conversation now, because if you like a team at this very moment, you should probably bet them, because they're likely to have the same playoff seed in a few weeks, but the number's going to be very different when they lock up that spot.
Well, and that's the thing about it. Just the injuries just racking up for Atlanta are so hard, and it's going to be so hard for them to overcome. I think they are the team that drops out. San Diego is the team that we talked about weeks ago that is on the rise. And I tend to wonder right now, if you look to the American League and say, hey, this is the time you have to jump in on the Houston Astros, because you know offensively they're going to be all right. You're starting to see them get a little bit healthier here on the mound. You're getting some good arms back. You're looking at a team that is figuring it out for being so bad early in the year, but we've seen the collapse of the Seattle Mariners. We've seen Houston really kind of come around here. They have a very solid back end of their bullpen, and they're getting healthy on the front side, and you're still looking at them around 9-1 to win the World Series, because aside from that, really in the American League, the only other two teams to me are the Yankees and the Orioles, and those are two teams that are just going to beat each other up. I kind of wonder if Houston just kind of flies under the radar and is the team that just picks off teams and picks off teams, stays healthy, gets healthy, and is the team that's rolling into the playoffs on the American League end.
Yeah, I don't want to admit it, and I don't think any of our listeners want to admit it, but you're 100% right about the Houston Astros, as the Texas Rangers have just completely tanked, and we know what happened with Seattle giving up that division as well. We disagree, though, on one premise strongly. You think there's a finite list of teams, about half the teams in the playoffs that can and half that cannot win the World Series. And I just disagree with that idea, Jim, especially this season. There is no dominant team. We are not going to have a 100-win team. When you look at the best run differentials in baseball, top three, you've got teams like Kansas City, Milwaukee throughout the season. They are not dominant ball clubs. And if you look at previous seasons, if we just rewind 1 year, it was, oh, in the National League side, there's no way you're going to take down the Atlanta Braves or the LA Dodgers. Well, guess what? In the end, neither of them made it, and it's the Arizona Diamondbacks. 2022, you had the Dodgers with a run differential north of plus 300. We saw that in 2021 with the Dodgers as well, and teams like Atlanta, when they were seventh in run differential, they break through. There's no great team, so baseball's typically wide open. You do have that variance in this sport. You never know what's going to happen. It's kind of like hockey in that way. And I think it's even more so in a year where you don't have even a few great teams. I don't think you have one great team at the top.
I don't know if you have one great team, but also you look at some of these teams and look at the divisions they're in, and they may be playing some teams that just aren't great overall.
Okay.
And look at Kansas City. You've gotten to beat up on the White Sox a whole lot this season. So that helps for your run differential. I don't think the NL Central has been very good by any means, which is the reason why a team like Milwaukee's there. When you look at these teams, like even, for example, the Dodgers, okay, you've had to play San Diego. They're tough. The Giants are tough. You're playing good baseball against tough teams. I think it's more of just a playoff-ready team. Same way on the American land. Okay, the Yankees, Baltimore. Boston is still in it on the periphery. And Tampa, think about it. Even Toronto at the start of the season was to be a legitimate team. I just think they're playing tougher teams. I think you get more battle-tested by that. Of course, yes, you can come in on a team. You can get hot like NHL teams do with a hot goaltender. But still, you have to have that depth on the mound. You have to have health. And, of course, you have to be able to hit the ball. And I just think there's some teams that can do. And I think there's some teams that just aren't going to be able to keep up when you get to the playoffs.
The one tough part right now, if you try to project this thing out and figure out, okay, these are the teams that are going to get the buys, these are the teams with the matchups that you want. Good luck. Because for the buys, the winning percentages are so close among at least a few teams, among your division leaders. Milwaukee, you don't believe in them, but they might have a buy in the National League side. Cleveland, maybe you don't believe in them. They might give up the division, by the way, but they also could have a buy in the American League side. So that part of it is very difficult. You can't really project out matchups that you want. Okay, I want to be on this side of the bracket. I want to face this one or two if you get to that next round. That part is tough to do, but That's why I want to have this conversation. It looks like we know the teams. We just don't know who they're going to be playing or how many rounds they're going to be playing. Two hottest teams in baseball, Jim, right now. Tell me if you like either of them. They're both on the National League side. We gave people the jump start on the Padres. They are the hottest team in baseball. And guess what? The second hottest team is the one that made the run to the World Series last year in the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And the question is, can the Diamondbacks sustain a run to even get into the mix? And that's the thing. San Diego's the team I'm on. I've loved San Diego. I've loved them all year. I still thought they had a chance to win this division, and they may still. That's the team that I would sit on. Diamondbacks, I'll tell you, and we've seen it time and again, they made this incredible run last year. It's a matter of if they can do it again.
What about the team that I was alluding to that is not in right now, but they could be in, all these Braves injuries that we've been talking about all season? If they get in, what about the Mets at 120-1?
Why not? If you want to look for value right now, this is the only time you're going to get it. Because you know 1 week of 5-2 baseball even is going to change those odds and probably cut it in half. So why not? If you want to take that opportunity, this is where the value is right now. I would like their chances for even winning a World Series right now, Joe, over the Royals, over the Twins, over the Guardians, over any of these teams where you're kind of looking at maybe a fringe, but they're not in a top division. I would take that shot with the Mets for sure.
Braves, Mets, second to last series of the season that could be deciding that last playoff spot over on the National League side. So interesting that you don't like the Royals. I do love their pitching, man. I do. I don't know that they're as fraudulent as the Milwaukee Brewers, but maybe those two teams make us look very stupid. It's crazy that the Royals are up there near the top in run differential in all of baseball, and they're sitting 35-1 to win the World Series. All right, very good. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Weekly contributor Jim Miller is here. All right, we talked about season-long props, so let's hit those. First, let's take a look back and see if there's anything to learn. Passing, rushing, receiving leader. Last year, the passing leader, oh, this guy was in the news earlier this week, Tua. Down in Miami, 46-24. He was your passing leader. And guess what, Jim? The top four in this category played all 17 games last season. After Tua, it was Goff, Dak, and then Josh Allen. Your rushing leader, no surprise, it was Christian McCaffrey. However, I think it's notable to bring up that Kyren Williams was third on this list, and he actually had more yards per game than McCaffrey. But the problem is he only played in 12 games. He became the bell cow guy for the Rams. Kyren killed it, but he just didn't have that full season. CMC had about 300 more than anybody else. And receiving leader, oh, this hurt me. I kept betting CeeDee Lamb. I bet him for offensive player of the year. I bet him for receiving leader at big numbers early on in the season, and he fell 50 yards short to Tyreek. Here's the one thing that stands out to me, Jim, and as far as last year, I think we can learn something. We're talking about explosive offenses with awesome play callers. The passing leader, yes. Mike McDaniel. The rushing leader, Kyle Shanahan, known for the run game. And then the receiving leader, again, Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins.
Here's the thing now that it's going to come down to. Who can stay healthy? Mm-hmm. Because when you're looking through some of these, like you said, the biggest thing, how many guys were playing 17 games? And you start on the passing end of things, and you mention it. Okay, there was a lot of hype around CJ Stroud. Well, is he going to repeat what he did last year? Last year, he only played 15 of the 17, but can he repeat that? Yet he's sitting as the favorite right now at a plus 650 number. You look at Tua, who has the weapons there. You think about, okay, it's Tyreek. It's Jalen Waddle. It's Achan. Even Mostert. You got weapons for Tua. He right now is the fifth choice in the category at 11-1. He's the guy that I would probably sit on right now, once again, to repeat. Because you know there's always the hype around Patrick Mahomes because it's the Chiefs. Dak Prescott, there's so many questions with what's going on with CD. Is he going to be in camp? I think Jared Goff's still a decent play. He had a solid year last year, and he's out there each and every week. But I think Tua's the guy sitting at the number on the passing end at 11-1 is the fifth choice.
I already hear our listeners in the Kennedy. Yeah, Jim, but can he stay healthy? It's the same story as a year ago, and you can say that about any quarterback. Oh, can Tua stay healthy? Can Tua stay healthy? He just did it for an entire season. We just said that. So why are people still questioning that? I don't understand. Yes, he can get injured. Absolutely. People say the same thing about Burrow. People say the same thing about Rodgers. That's life in the NFL. You know, Rodgers has been pretty healthy throughout his entire career. But that first game, just a few snaps in, all the hype around the Jets, he does it on Monday Night Football. And that's what people remember. Okay, Tua's your pick at 11-1. I'm looking for a little bit of value. And I was tempted by Aaron Rodgers because it's a number of 30-1. But I'm going to go with a guy that finished top four last year. And I think we're getting value because some of his receivers are gone. I'm not concerned. He still has top-notch tight ends. And they added to that receiving group. It's not like the Bills are going to stop passing completely. Give me Josh Allen at 20-1. He's seventh on the board, right behind Tua, but you do have that value gap. 11-1 for Tua, 20-1 for Josh Allen. What about rushing leader? What do you think?
Rushing is a weird category, Joe, because a lot of these guys that were on the top of the list as the favorites are guys that have had really bad injuries at some point throughout the course of their career. You're talking Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Breece Hall. Now, Breece came back last year and played 17. Kyren Williams, you already mentioned, he's sitting at 16-1. He didn't play just 12 games because really of injury. It was just more figuring out who their back was going to be. I think he's worth a play. And then what about Bijan Robinson? Is this the year for him? He's sitting at 8-1 as the third choice. He played 17 games last year, ran for almost 1,000 yards. But here's the thing. He's going to move up because of what they did for improvements on the defensive end of things. It's going to be games where they're in much more. They're not chasing more. They're going to get the ball more often on offense. I think Bijan's the guy who's going to benefit from all of this. He's been behind a decent offensive line, but that's a team that is greatly improved off moves that they've made over the course of the last couple of weeks on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's a very solid play at 8.5-1.
If you want to go with Kyren Williams, I don't have a problem with it. And what McVay does is once he picks a guy, he leans on them heavily, getting so much usage compared to other teams. So Kyren Williams, interesting at 15-1. For rushing leader, you also want a team that's going to be playing from out in front. You know who's going to be playing out in front? Philadelphia Eagles. Saquon Barkley, 10-1 in a winning situation for the first time. I don't think that's the worst play in the world. If you want to go down the board, you know, James Cook was up there. He was fourth last year, and he's sitting 35-1. Still think the Bills are going to have a pretty good year. As long as you have Josh Allen, that's going to be the case. All right, I mentioned Tyreek, your receiving leader a year ago, 1799. DJ Moore was sixth last year. More weapons around him, though, this time around. Obviously, an upgrade at quarterback. What about receiving leader?
Weapons is a good thing. So let's start with DJ Moore, because think about it. Okay, Tyreek Hill had Jalen Waddle on the other side. You look at some of these other guys. I mean, Jamar Chase has T. Higgins. All right, Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't have a whole lot, you say, but LaPorta was amazing last year, so they had weapons. DJ Moore had nothing. All right, well, now it's Keenan Allen. Now it's Rome Odunze. What it means is DJ's not going to be double-teamed. He's going to have that opportunity to get those yards, and I think there's going to be a lot of times for this ball to get spread around. I think he's at least worth a look somewhere around 40-1 right now.
Really?
But then the other one to talk about is probably Justin Jefferson in the same division, because Minnesota, Joe, I don't think they're going to be very good this year. They're going to be playing from behind. Jefferson, yeah, he was dealing with the hamstring last year, but it's not like he dealt with a major injury. I don't think this is going to be a recurring injury. He had 1,000 receiving yards in just 10 games last year. Well, you still have Jordan Addison. You still have Hockenson. You still have some weapons out there. I think Justin Jefferson, who's sitting right now around 10-1, might be worth a look too.
I wrote down Justin Jefferson. Problem is you're relying on Sam Darnold a whole lot there, but still, the talent is there. And you mentioned it. They're going to be chasing all day. A lot of passes. Love the offensive mastermind they have at head coach. So I think you can trust Jefferson a little bit there at 10-1. I looked for value. I wrote down a bunch of names. Still expect St. Brown to be in the mix. He's 13-1. Not a ton of value. You know, Puka, why do we expect him to completely drop off? 22-1 for Puka. The mid-30s does hold value. Talked about the Falcons. What if they do put it all together? We saw it in spurts last year. Drake London can have amazing games. Can he put it together for an entire season? He's 31-1 with now Kirk Cousins
on that turf to be the receiving leader. And I still believe in the talent of Olave. Like, maybe not the quarterback play, but Olave also in that same range, 31-1, pretty good look. I think Chase will be there for the Bengals, but if for some reason he's not starting the season, that means all the looks are going to T. Higgins, and he's 80-1. Yep. Jim, before I cut you loose, anything with the horses today?
All right, three horses at Saratoga today to bet. It's a great card at Saratoga. So all stakes races, bet all these horses across the board. Race 11, bet the 6, Mulliken across the board. Race 12, bet the 3, Domestic Product across the board. And then race 13, the Travers Stakes, Joe, a horse we know about. Bet the 2, Sierra Leone across the board. Make some money, my friend.
Yes, we do. Jim Miller, weekly contributor here on Early Odds. Talk to you next Saturday, Jim.
All right, you got it, Joe. Good luck.
Also, thanks to Ryan Horvath and Brad Powers for hanging out to get your weekend started. Very excited for Monday morning, and I hope you'll join me. It's a new era for the BetQL Network. Mitch Rosen has put together an outstanding lineup for the football season. I'll still be there weekdays 8 to 11 a.m., but now with my buddy Sam Panionovich. Preset it now, 105.9 FM HD2. You can find the BetQL Network also on the Odyssey app, Twitch, and the podcasts under BetQL Daily on the podcatcher of your choice. Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh is next. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score. Talk Monday.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back. You've got Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, last weekend of NFL action. Before it all starts for real, we welcome in Jim Miller. Jim, there's some NFL season-long props I know you want to get to, but we're going to start things off with baseball because futures-wise, I think it's an interesting time with the hardball.
It is an interesting time, and a lot of things are kind of sorting themselves out for division, sorting themselves out now a little bit more for awards when you're looking Cy Young, when you're looking MVP, things along those lines. But now it gets into, okay, who are the contenders and who are the pretenders when you're talking about who can actually win a World Series? And yes, we've had the expansion to the playoffs and that, the expansion of the wild card. But I still think, Joe, there's some teams that are just going to get in that are not going to have any chance at all to win the World Series. But I still think you can find some value with some teams out there. And I'll be curious to see kind of your thoughts, too, on who really has an opportunity to win the World Series.
But the reason I bring up the futures is this. It looks like we have our playoff teams. The 12 that are in are going to be in. Maybe there's that one change with the Mets that I do find to be interesting, but that's why it's good to have this conversation now, because if you like a team at this very moment, you should probably bet them because they're likely to have the same playoff seed in a few weeks, but the number's going to be very different when they lock up that spot.
Well, and that's the thing about it. Just the injuries just racking up for Atlanta are so hard, and it's going to be so hard for them to overcome. I think they are the team that drops out. San Diego is the team that we talked about weeks ago that is on the rise. And I tend to wonder right now, if you look to the American League and say, hey, this is the time you have to jump in on the Houston Astros, because you know offensively they're going to be all right. You're starting to see them get a little bit healthier here on the mound. You're getting some good arms back. You're looking at a team that is figuring it out for being so bad early in the year, but we've seen the collapse of the Seattle Mariners. We've seen Houston really kind of come around here. They have a very solid back end of their bullpen, and they're getting healthy on the front side, and you're still looking at them around 9-1 to win the World Series, because aside from that, really in the American League, the only other two teams to me are the Yankees and the Orioles, and those are two teams that are just going to beat each other up. I kind of wonder if Houston just kind of flies under the radar and is the team that just picks off teams and picks off teams, stays healthy, gets healthy, and is the team that's rolling into the playoffs on the American League end.
Yeah, I don't want to admit it, and I don't think any of our listeners want to admit it, but you're 100% right about the Houston Astros, as the Texas Rangers have just completely tanked, and we know what happened with Seattle giving up that division as well. We disagree, though, on one premise strongly. You think there's a finite list of teams. About half the teams in the playoffs that can and half that cannot win the World Series. And I just disagree with that idea, Jim, especially this season. There is no dominant team. We are not going to have a 100-win team. When you look at the best run differentials in baseball, top three, you've got teams like Kansas City, Milwaukee throughout the season. They are not dominant ball clubs. And if you look at previous seasons, if we just rewind 1 year, it was, oh, in the National League side, there's no way you're going to take down the Atlanta Braves or the LA Dodgers. Well, guess what? In the end, neither of them made it, and it's the Arizona Diamondbacks. 2022, you had the Dodgers with a run differential north of plus 300. We saw that in 2021 with the Dodgers as well, and teams like Atlanta, when they were seventh in run differential, they break through. There's no great team, so baseball's typically wide open. You do have that variance in this sport. You never know what's going to happen. It's kind of like hockey in that way. And I think it's even more so in a year where you don't have even a few great teams. I don't think you have one great team at the top.
I don't know if you have one great team, but also you look at some of these teams and look at the divisions they're in, and they may be playing some teams that just aren't great overall.
Okay.
And look at Kansas City. You've gotten to beat up on the White Sox a whole lot this season. So that helps for your run differential. I don't think the NL Central has been very good by any means, which is the reason why a team like Milwaukee's there. When you look at these teams, like even, for example, the Dodgers, okay, you've had to play San Diego. They're tough. The Giants are tough. You're playing good baseball against tough teams. I think it's more of just a playoff-ready team. Same way on the American land. Okay, the Yankees, Baltimore. Boston is still in it on the periphery. And Tampa, think about it. Even Toronto at the start of the season was to be a legitimate team. I just think they're playing tougher teams. I think you get more battle-tested by that. Of course, yes, you can come in on a team. You can get hot like NHL teams do with a hot goaltender. But still, you have to have that depth on the mound. You have to have health. And, of course, you have to be able to hit the ball. And I just think there's some teams that can do. And I think there's some teams that just aren't going to be able to keep up when you get to the playoffs.
The one tough part right now, if you try to project this thing out and figure out, okay, these are the teams that are going to get the buys. These are the teams with the matchups that you want. Good luck. Because for the buys, the winning percentages are so close among at least a few teams, among your division leaders. Milwaukee, you don't believe in them, but they might have a buy in the National League side. Cleveland, maybe you don't believe in them. They might give up the division, by the way, but they also could have a buy in the American League side. So that part of it is very difficult. You can't really project out matchups that you want. Okay, I want to be on this side of the bracket. I want to face this one or two if you get to that next round. That part is tough to do, but that's why I want to have this conversation. It looks like we know the teams. We just don't know who they're going to be playing or how many rounds they're going to be playing. Two hottest teams in baseball, Jim, right now. Tell me if you like either of them. They're both on the National League side. We gave people the jump start on the Padres. They are the hottest team in baseball. And guess what? The second hottest team is the one that made the run to the World Series last year in the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And the question is, can the Diamondbacks sustain a run to even get into the mix? And that's the thing. San Diego's the team I'm on. I've loved San Diego. I've loved them all year. I still thought they had a chance to win this division, and they may still. That's the team that I would sit on. Diamondbacks, I'll tell you, and we've seen it time and again, they made this incredible run last year. It's a matter of if they can do it again.
What about the team that I was alluding to that is not in right now, but they could be in? All these Braves injuries that we've been talking about all season. If they get in, what about the Mets at 120-1?
Why not? If you want to look for value right now, this is the only time you're going to get it. Because you know 1 week of 5-2 baseball even is going to change those odds and probably cut it in half. So why not? If you want to take that opportunity, this is where the value is right now. I would like their chances for even winning a World Series right now, Joe, over the Royals, over the Twins, over the Guardians, over any of these teams where you're kind of looking at maybe a fringe, but they're not in a top division. I would take that shot with the Mets for sure.
Braves, Mets, second to last series of the season that could be deciding that last playoff spot over on the National League side. So interesting that you don't like the Royals. I do love their pitching, man. I do. I don't know that they're as fraudulent as the Milwaukee Brewers, but maybe those two teams make us look very stupid. It's crazy that the Royals are up there near the top in run differential in all of baseball, and they're sitting 35-1 to win the World Series.
All right, very good. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Weekly contributor Jim Miller is here. All right, we talked about season-long props, so let's hit those. First, let's take a look back and see if there's anything to learn. Passing, rushing, receiving leader. Last year, the passing leader, oh, this guy was in the news earlier this week, Tua, down in Miami, 46-24. He was your passing leader. And guess what, Jim? The top four in this category played all 17 games last season. After Tua, it was Goff, Dak, and then Josh Allen. Your rushing leader, no surprise, it was Christian McCaffrey. However, I think it's notable to bring up that Kyren Williams was third on this list, and he actually had more yards per game than McCaffrey. But the problem is he only played in 12 games. He became the bell cow guy for the Rams. Kyren killed it, but he just didn't have that full season. CMC had about 300 more than anybody else. And receiving leader, oh, this hurt me. I kept betting CeeDee Lamb. I bet him for offensive player of the year. I bet him for receiving leader at big numbers early on in the season, and he fell 50 yards short to Tyreek. Here's the one thing that stands out to me, Jim, and as far as last year, I think we can learn something. We're talking about explosive offenses with awesome play callers. The passing leader, yes, Mike McDaniel. The rushing leader, Kyle Shanahan, known for the run game. And then the receiving leader, again, Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins.
Here's the thing now that it's going to come down to. Who can stay healthy? Mm-hmm. Because when you're looking through some of these, like you said, the biggest thing, how many guys were playing 17 games? And you start on the passing end of things, and you mention it. Okay, there was a lot of hype around C.J. Stroud. Well, is he going to repeat what he did last year? Last year, he only played 15 of the 17, but can he repeat that? Yet he's sitting as the favorite right now at a plus 650 number. You look at Tua, who has the weapons there. You think about, okay, it's Tyreek. It's Jalen Waddle. It's Achan. Even Mostert. You got weapons for Tua. He right now is the fifth choice in the category at 11-1. He's the guy that I would probably sit on right now once again to repeat, because you know there's always the hype around Patrick Mahomes because it's the Chiefs. Dak Prescott, there's so many questions with what's going on with CD. Is he going to be in camp? I think Jared Goff's still a decent play. He had a solid year last year, and he's out there each and every week. But I think Tua's the guy sitting at the number on the passing end at 11-1 is the fifth choice.
I already hear our listeners in the Kennedy. Yeah, Jim, but can he stay healthy? It's the same story as a year ago, and you can say that about any quarterback. Oh, can Tua stay healthy? Can Tua stay healthy? He just did it for an entire season. We just said that. So why are people still questioning that? I don't understand. Yes, he can get injured. Absolutely. People say the same thing about Burrow. People say the same thing about Rodgers. That's life in the NFL. You know, Rodgers has been pretty healthy throughout his entire career, but that first game, just a few snaps in, all the hype around the Jets, he does it on Monday Night Football, and that's what people remember. Okay, Tua is your pick at 11-1. I'm looking for a little bit of value, and I was tempted by Aaron Rodgers because it's a number of 30-1, but I'm going to go with a guy that finished top four last year, and I think we're getting value because some of his receivers are gone. I'm not concerned. He still has top-notch tight ends, and they added to that receiving group. It's not like the Bills are going to stop passing completely. Give me Josh Allen at 20-1. He's seventh on the board, right behind Tua, but you do have that value gap, 11-1 for Tua, 20-1 for Josh Allen. What about rushing leader? What do you think?
Rushing is a weird category, Joe, because a lot of these guys that were on the top of the list as the favorites are guys that have had really bad injuries at some point throughout the course of their career. You're talking Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Breece Hall. Now, Breece came back last year and played 17. Kyren Williams, you already mentioned, he's been at 16-1. He didn't play just 12 games because really of injury. It was just more figuring out who their back was going to be. I think he's worth a play. And then what about Bijan Robinson? Is this the year for him? He's sitting at 8-1 as the third choice. He played 17 games last year, ran for almost 1,000 yards. But here's the thing. He's going to move up because of what they did for improvements on the defensive end of things. It's going to be games where they're in much more. They're not chasing more. They're going to get the ball more often on offense. I think Bijan's the guy who's going to benefit from all of this. He's been behind a decent offensive line, but that's a team that is greatly improved off moves that they've made over the course of the last couple of weeks on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's a very solid play at 8.5-1.
If you want to go with Kyron Williams, I don't have a problem with it. And what McVay does is once he picks a guy, he leans on them heavily, getting so much usage compared to other teams. So Kyron Williams, interesting at 15-1. For rushing leader, you also want a team that's going to be playing from out in front. You know who's going to be playing out in front? Philadelphia Eagles. Saquon Barkley, 10-1 in a winning situation for the first time. I don't think that's the worst play in the world. If you want to go down the board, you know, James Cook was up there. He was fourth last year, and he's sitting 35-1. Still think the Bills are going to have a pretty good year. As long as you have Josh Allen, that's going to be the case. All right, I mentioned Tyreek, your receiving leader a year ago, 1799. DJ Moore was sixth last year. More weapons around him, though, this time around. Obviously, an upgrade at quarterback. What about receiving leader?
Weapons is a good thing. So let's start with DJ Moore, because think about it. Okay, Tyreek Hill had Jalen Waddle on the other side. You look at some of these other guys. I mean, Jamar Chase has T. Higgins. All right, Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't have a whole lot, you say, but LaPorta was amazing last year, so they had weapons. DJ Moore had nothing. All right, well, now it's Keenan Allen. Now it's Rome Odunze. What it means is DJ's not going to be double-teamed. He's going to have that opportunity to get those yards, and I think there's going to be a lot of times for this ball to get spread around. I think he's at least worth a look somewhere around 40-1 right now.
Really?
But then the other one to talk about is probably Justin Jefferson in the same division, because Minnesota, Joe, I don't think they're going to be very good this year. They're going to be playing from behind. Jefferson, yeah, he was dealing with the hamstring last year, but it's not like he dealt with a major injury. I don't think this is going to be a recurring injury. He had 1,000 receiving yards in just 10 games last year. Well, you still have Jordan Addison. You still have Hockenson. You still have some weapons out there. I think Justin Jefferson, who's sitting right now around 10-1, might be worth a look too.
I wrote down Justin Jefferson. Problem is you're relying on Sam Darnold a whole lot there, but still, the talent is there. And you mentioned it. They're going to be chasing all day. A lot of passes. Love the offensive mastermind they have at head coach. So I think you can trust Jefferson a little bit there at 10-1. I looked for value. I wrote down a bunch of names. Still expect St. Brown to be in the mix. He's 13-1. Not a ton of value. You know, Puka, why do we expect him to completely drop off? 22-1 for Puka. The mid-30s does hold value. Talked about the Falcons. What if they do put it all together? We saw it in spurts last year. Drake London can have amazing games. Can he put it together for an entire season? He's 31-1 with now Kirk Cousins on that turf to be the receiving leader. And I still believe in the talent of Olave. Like maybe not the quarterback play, but Olave also in that same range, 31-1, pretty good look. I think Chase will be there for the Bengals, but if for some reason he's not starting the season, that means all the looks are going to T. Higgins and he's 80-1. Yep. Jim, before I cut you loose, anything with the horses today?
All right, three horses at Saratoga today to bet. It's a great card at Saratoga. So all stakes races. Bet all these horses across the board. Race 11, bet the 6, Mulliken across the board. Race 12, bet the 3, Domestic Product across the board. And then race 13, the Travers Stakes, Joe, a horse we know about, bet the 2, Sierra Leone across the board. Make some money, my friend.
Yes, we do. Jim Miller, weekly contributor here on Early Odds. Talk to you next Saturday, Jim.
All right, you got it, Joe. Good luck.
Also, thanks to Ryan Horvath and Brad Powers for hanging out to get your weekend started. Very excited for Monday morning, and I hope you'll join me. It's a new era for the BetQL Network. Mitch Rosen has put together an outstanding lineup for the football season. I'll still be there weekdays 8 to 11 a.m., but now with my buddy Sam Panionovich. Preset it now, 105.9 FM HD2. You can find the BetQL Network also on the Odyssey app, Twitch, and the podcasts under BetQL Daily on the podcatcher of your choice. Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh is next. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score. Talk Monday.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.